phone, maybe that doesn't work so well. Oh well.
I just put it down.
Yeah, we'll just leave it down here and hopefully it can still hear me. It looks like it can. Okay, today we're looking at Isaiah 40, verses 28 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Yahweh is the everlasting God. Yahweh is the actual Hebrew pronunciation of what other people have pronounced Jehovah. Yehovah. Yahweh. You know, but in Hebrew, that's what this is. You will never hear them say it because they believe this is the actual name of God. So they'll write it, but they won't say it. Yahweh is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never grows faint or weary. There's no limit to his understanding. He gives strength to the weary and strengthens the powerless. Youths may faint and grow weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us to understand it. Help us to incorporate it into our lives and to serve you really well. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the background of this is, in chapter 39, Isaiah is talking about the things that are coming up, that are going to befall the nation of Israel. And it's not good, because Israel had not been following God. And he's trying to tell them, if you follow God, it'll be okay. If you don't, it'll be really bad, because God is a jealous God and he doesn't want you going off and worshiping other things. In chapter 40, we see comfort for those who are still following the Lord. Our God is not like pagan gods. And he begins to talk about how that is. Our God's different. He's eternal. He didn't come into existence at some point. If you look at Greek mythology, they have what they call the Titans. And these are the ones that supposedly came before the Greek gods, Jupiter and Hera and all that kind of stuff. And they gave birth to them. But we never see anywhere that they came from. We never see anywhere that Yahweh came from. But he said, I'm everlasting. I was before there was time. I will still be when time goes away. I have no limitations. He's eternal. He's never weary. He doesn't stop listening no matter what. He gets angry when we turn away from him, but he doesn't go away from us. He can't. This is his creation, and he's always in it at all times. Sometimes he's trying to make it better, and sometimes he's trying to bless those who are doing what they're supposed to do. He cannot be understood. This is a famous saying from an ancient guy. I forget who it was that said it. But he said, if you could understand God, you would have no need of him. Something is bigger. Used to be a comedy routine called The 2,000-Year-Old Man, where Mel Brooks would pretend to be a guy who's 2,000 years old, and Carl Reiner would ask him questions, and he'd make stuff up on the fly, and it was funny. And so at one point, Reiner says, did you ever worship anybody before God? And he said, well, there was this guy, Phil. And Phil was really big, and he beat everybody up, and everybody was afraid of him. And then one day he's walking along and a lightning bolt hit him and fried him. And we all looked up and said, there's something bigger than Phil. And that's it. God is something bigger than us. And if we could understand Him, we'd have no need for Him. So, that's the idea of God. Now, the Hebrews originally thought that there was all these different gods, and our God's bigger and badder than any of them. Then they came to the idea that the other gods, some of them are not God. They're made up. They're something that somebody's following. Somebody just came out of left field. And then after a while, they realized, as God kept telling them, God is the one and only God. There is nobody else. He's the only God there ever is, ever was, or ever will be. And when they finally got that, they came back from Babylonian captivity, and they had their head straight. If you went to turn away from God, they'd take you out and stone you, because we don't do that. This is our God. He's the only God. If somebody else comes to us in the name of another God, we turn to our God and say, would you please smoke these guys? And guess what? God usually did. God is the strengthener of the people who follow Him. He gives strength to the weary. Where I began to just really depend on this verse, I was doing a physical test in the Navy. And I was thinking, I'm not going to make it. I'm just not going to make it through this. And so He put this verse that I had heard in my mind. And I said, Lord, You said, if I'll rely on You, that I can run and not be weary. So I'm going to run and not be weary. As it happens, at the time I was in the Navy, I was doing a swimming test. And I'm going to swim and not be weary. And I'm going to make it. And I'm going to make it under the time. And I'm depending on You. And I came in, and they got it. Not just did I make it under the time, I got an outstanding. Because the Lord backed me. And I just kept praying to the Lord the whole time. I didn't know how hard I was going. He gives strength to the weary. He gives power to the weak. Those who are about to get smashed, if they turn to the Lord will hold them up. I have often told people that at times I've had people decide that they want to try the old rev on. And always, when that happened, always, I think they must be angels that the Lord just keeps bringing along. But behind me, I hear somebody go, if I was you, I'd walk away, boy. And the guy rabbits. And I turn around and here's these really large guys with red and gold patches and everything. And they're, you know, and I go, well, thanks. I don't think I've met you yet. And I said, well, Dumpster Bob said Rev Walt's a good guy, or Captain Mark, or whatever, somebody that I knew said Rev Walt's a good guy. So if you're depending on the Lord, then when you're the one who's about to get messed up, He'll send somebody to take care of you. And we have multiple examples of that. Larry Baldwin used to tell a thing about a guy who was witnessing in Africa, and he got stuck in the middle of the African bush, and he had a little fire, and he had all this and so on, and this bunch of natives were coming and they were going to kill him. But then they didn't. And so when they then went and they talked to them and they said, we were afraid that you might be coming after us. And they said, we did. But those 7-footers that you had sitting out there scared us to death. There were no 7-footers. They had to be angels. That's the whole point. If you trust in the Lord, even if you're weak, He will take care of you and strengthen you. Even if you are young and powerful, you get tired and stumble. We have great athletes that will push themselves to their limits and then they'll fall. Usually they drive themselves past their goal and then they're just completely used up or whatever. But that's the whole point, is even if you're young and powerful, you can get tired and stumble. But if you trust in God, He will keep you strengthened, and He will keep you going so that you get to the goal that He has for you. And then it speaks about those who trust in the Lord. It refers to those who remain faithful to Him in the midst of people who are not faithful to Him. And Isaiah was speaking to the people who were going into Babylon. They were being captured and taken away. And he says, if you remain trusting in the Lord, He'll take care of you. They will be restored. You, if you do this, if you stay close to the Lord and you go through what He's going to put you through, you will be restored. And when they get back, they'll be refreshed. And they were. When they came back, they had to fight and kick and scream to build back the structures of Jerusalem. But once they had done it, they felt uplifted that they had done what God wanted. They said that they looked at the temple that they had restored and they began to cry because it wasn't as glorious as the temple that they had before that had been torn down. But they were proud because it was the temple of God, and better or worse, it's there now, and we promised God we'd put it back, and we did. The Lord's help will help them soar, just like an eagle. When people came and said, we're not going to let you do this, we're large and in charge, we're not going to let you follow your God, they said, doesn't matter, we're going to follow Him, and then you can take, you can do whatever it takes to fight against Him. They will not be weary or faint in restoring the Lord's kingdom. We see that now. We have people in the United States that are trying to restore the Lord's kingdom in the United States. And we have to keep going back to the Lord and saying, Lord, help us do this. Help us not to give up. So what does this all mean to us? Well, we may have a coming disaster. One of the points that's been brought out is that when you read in the Bible, you'll notice that it doesn't actually say anything about the United States. And everybody says, well, that was because at the time there was no United States. Nobody knew about this continent over here. But you have all of these predictions. You have the stuff in Revelation and everything, and it all deals with Europe and the Middle East, not the United States. So if disaster happens and the United States absolutely falls, you can't say it went against the Bible. We hope it won't. We hope we'll come back up again and we'll be some of those people who will be supporting the people who are fighting against the evil powers that will be coming in. Our God is for real, unlike other gods. Used to be a little book that you could buy that was called God is for Real, Man. And it was testimonies from juvenile delinquents that had been picked up in various places around the country. And they would tell their stories. And then they would have them tell what they read in the Bible and tell it back in their own words. And the big part about it was that they said, God is for real, man. He's always there. And we need to follow Him. He will give us strength to go on. I'm going to get one of my little lozenges so I stop coughing. Somebody here needs to hear this. Whenever I'm having a hard time. I know there's somebody needs to hear this, and the devil's trying to stop me from saying it, and I don't let him do it. So, he will give us the strength to go on, even when we think we can't go on anymore. The Holman Christian Standard Bible says, wait on the Lord. But other Bibles may say it in a different way. We must remain faithful to God. As long as we keep holding on to Him, it'll be all right. Now, when I say that, I recall a Bible study we did where they said the three way God will take care of you. Is He'll get you out of a problem, He'll get you through a problem, or He'll just take you home. Now, we may not like the idea of taking home, but we have known of stories of people who ended up in terrible situations and died. But they didn't die in pain when they should have. God just took them on. We will be restored and refreshed. If we keep going back to God, I have a problem with depression. But when I go to the Bible, particularly many of the Psalms that David wrote, I think he had severe depression too. But as I read that, it leads me to the Lord in a way that lifts me up and says, let's keep going on. I always had this warrior spirit where it's like, I'm not going to let the devil win. We will soar with Jesus in the end. The Bible says, those of us who go first, when Jesus comes back, we're coming with Him. There used to be a picture in one of the Christian stores in Linwood. They would always show you Jesus going and you're behind Him, going with Him. This one showed Jesus coming. And if you're a non-Christian, that was the first thing I would think is, if you're a non-Christian, this ought to scare the daylights out of you. Because here comes this great horde with Jesus in charge of it, and I don't want to be on this side. I want to be that picture from behind, following Jesus and going and saying, we're going to win. We must not be weary or faint in restoring the Lord's kingdom. It says in the Bible, don't be weary in well-doing. Keep doing what the Lord told you to do. As my friend Bud used to say, if it's money, don't worry. If the Lord will, it's the Lord's bill. Keep going. Sometimes He even blocks a field goal for us. Just kidding. But at any rate, when I first did this sermon, he had done that. He had just blocked a field goal, so we won a game. But anyway, let's pray. Lord, we thank You that we've been here. We ask You to bless us and guide us and go with us. Help us always to follow You, to trust in You so we can rise up on wings like eagles and do Your will without fear. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming, guys.